This is the web stream of KBOO Portland. KBOO is 100% community supported. If you have not yet become a member, go to the website kboo.fm and click on the tip jar.
Community Radio is proud to broadcast the 26th annual Safeway Waterfront Blues Festival. Thursday through Sunday, July 4th through 7th, KBOO will be broadcasting live from Tom McCall Waterfront Park for the Portland metro area and throughout the state with our partners in Ashland, Bend, Newport, Salem, Warm Springs, and more. Internet listeners can tune in to KBOO.fm. Again, that's the 26th annual Waterfront Blues Festival, a benefit for the Oregon Food Bank. Because no one should be hungry. More information on costs, benefit to KBOO members, performing artists, and more can be found at kboo.fm.
Good morning, Cascadia. Today is Monday, July 1st, 2013, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM, kboo.fm on the web. Well, turns out that the CRC, the Columbia River Crossing, is dead in the water. And from farther afield, the private security firm, the Institute of Terrorism Research and Response, was including the activities of a peaceful anti-fracking group in Pennsylvania in the company's intelligence bulletins. Wait a minute! Why is the Institute of Terrorism Research and Response spying on the activities of a peaceful anti-fracking group in Pennsylvania? That's the trouble. It all depends on how you define terrorism, doesn't it? And the Egyptian military came out with this no-nonsense offer. If Mr. Morsi does not take steps to address demands for a more inclusive government, the armed forces would move to impose its own roadmap for the future. First, this from the National Weather Service. Today, well, sunny and hot, indeed, with a high near 96. Not much in the way of wind tonight. Clear skies and low around 66. And again, we may get a little bit of a breeze moving in. Other than that, Tuesday, again, sunny and hot with a high near 96. For tomorrow night, clear skies, lows around 65, and a slight breeze. The alternative forecast has this in store for us. It's a last quarter leaf moon in Pisces. The moon is 22 days old. Synodic forecast, it's not a good time to be sowing anything. And how? Not in this heat. If you've got stuff to plant, if you've got seedlings that need to be set out, it's not a good time. But if you must do it, try early in the morning or late in the evening and soak the ground. So it's not a good time for anything according to the synodic forecast. Again, they, of course, suggest harvesting if you can keep up with it. And water down the compost piles. The biodynamic forecast, moon in Pisces, it's a water sign, and that means sow leaf plants. Sidereal, moon in Pisces, is a water sign that promotes root growth. And don't forget, water deeply, because if you just water the surface, then the roots come to the surface to get the water, and when it's gone, they fry. That's about it for both the alternative forecast and the conventional forecast. Moving right along into news from around Cascadia, before we are going to try to reach Sybil Edmonds later in the program. But for now, we have this from around Cascadia. Well, many listeners will recall that last week there was a massive bee die-off. Anything but a die-off, actually. They were poisoned. They were poisoned, of course, by pesticides. Pesticides are designed to kill insects. Bees are insects. This is really a no-brainer. I've had bee colonies myself die completely. It's because of pesticides. It really is. The combinations, the recombinations, and the interactions with microwave interference that is ambient in our atmosphere everywhere and all the time. And that should be no surprise to anyone. Nonetheless, dozens gathered at the edge of the Target store parking lot in Wilsonville, where it happened. This was just yesterday, to memorialize the some estimated 50,000 bees, probably a lot more, who were killed because of pesticide poisoning earlier. Black netting covered the 50 flowering European linden trees that had been sprayed with safari, which was intended to control aphids. Come on. You know, how about ladybugs? It's a lot cheaper. But, of course, it's not a handout to the huge petrochemical companies that produce these poisons. The crowd had a moment of silence, and then they various people spoke. They urged action. Almost everyone argued that the incident shows a much larger issue of declining bee populations worldwide. The fact that there is still debate on the issue is a little bit surprising. What is not debatable is that if all of the bees did vanish, it wouldn't be much longer before human populations would start to decline. Now, that might be in and of itself a good thing. Nonetheless, pollinators are dying in huge numbers worldwide, and it's something to be enormously concerned about. If a creature that far down on the pyramid can have such a stunning effect on creatures closer to the top, that we ought to be a little bit more cautious when we destroy habitat for various types of animals in our own forests right now, all in the name of logging more. That said, moving right along, the big news, and as if that wasn't big news, but what, of course, has got the punditry ablaze is the Columbia River crossing has finally tanked. Managers are beginning closing the project today, ending assignments for 96 government workers and consultants in Vancouver. Opponents are celebrating the demise of the plan. Of course, Governor Kitzhaber is wringing his hands. We still don't know why exactly Governor Kitzhaber so enthusiastically embraced the Columbia River crossing in the first place, despite the fact that the bridge wasn't high enough for river traffic to go underneath it. It's a bit of a mystery. Clearly, it's money, but we don't at this point. There are some suggestions. We all have our own theories as to exactly the source of money and the hands that it passed through or was intended to pass through. But it's still a little bit murky. And even at this juncture, the real pathways haven't come to light. Stunned supporters are trying to pick up the pieces of 10 years of vetting their last dime on this plan. Kitzhaber declared that he was disappointed that legislative partners in Washington State Senate failed to address what he calls the clear and present safety and economic need. Well, the thing about it is that adding more freeways, adding more bridges, does nothing to address the problem of congestion. Everyone who studies these things will tell you that adding more freeways does not address congestion. That's lack of freeways is definitely not America's problem at this point. The collapse of the huge project, though, occurred when senators declined to consider a $10 billion transportation package. We need a lot more things. For starters, we need to fix our existing infrastructure. And that's that said, we'll see how what happens and where we go from here. Of course, the bottom line is population and the carrying capacity of the land. When you have too many people in a region, it stresses the land, it stresses all systems, both man-made and natural. And that's what needs to be addressed right now. Clackamas County, always a source of amusement. The ignorant and the venally ignorant have problems with secrecy, it turns out. It would appear that it would be their last, but it turns out it would be their last best friend. But in the end, it's their lawyers who are their last best friend. Clackamas County Chairman John Ludlow is the kind of politician with whom you'd like to have a beer and then maybe a fistfight. Ludlow is refusing to disclose emails from his personal accounts between himself and political conservatives who largely funded his election campaign. When Clackamas County received a public records request back in February, Ludlow spent 5 months toughing it out with the county attorney's legal advice to hand over the emails. County Counsel Stephen Madker says that even if Ludlow is using his private email account, this is key to this whole issue, and it's something else that lawmakers, politicians from near and far ought to pay close attention to. Even though Ludlow is using his own private account, such communications were subject to public disclosure. So that's basically it. It's not just a view under Oregon law, it's the law. Ludlow strongly objected and hired a private attorney who read a blistering rebuke to Madcore for being the messenger bearing the bad news. State archivist Mary Beth Herkett is the go-to person for public records retention and trains government entities in open records law. Herkett says that even though Oregon's laws have been on the books for years, public officials are often surprised to learn that emails on their private accounts can still be public records unless the emails fall under very, very specific exemptions. And basically, that's as far as we have time to go into the workings of Clackamas County. I assure you, though, it's murky down there. We've got a... Once in a while, we put and this in, and before we get to other news, and this. A group of women who claim that they could detect paranormal activities say there is a ghost in Cottage Grove Armory. It's an ancient building that houses the National Guard. It's an armory, and the city has signed off on allowing a group to do some investigations of the building. They say the investigators claim that they have, in fact, found evidence of paranormal activity in the National Guard Armory and Cottage Grove. Who knew? Probably not anyone involved in the National Guard. Senior European Union politicians are stunned at reports that United States intelligence agents bugged EU offices on both sides of the Atlantic. They were stunned, were they? Shouldn't have come. This should not have come as any enormous surprise. The president, however, of the European Parliament, Martin Schulz, said that he was deeply worried and shocked about the allegations of U.S. authorities spying on EU offices. And, of course, this comes on the eve of America's efforts to negotiate yet another free trade agreement. This should pour a little bit of cold water on those talks. The German Green Party leaders in the European Parliament, Rebecca Harms and Daniel Cohn-Bendit, called for an investigation and called for existing US-EU agreements on the exchange of bank transfer and passenger record information to be cancelled. Der Spiegel's article quoted an article in Der Spiegel quoted a September 2010 top secret document that outlined how the National Security Agency bugged offices and spied on EU internal computer networks in Washington and as well as the United Nations, not only listening to conversations and phone calls, but also gaining access to documents and emails. Just ask Clackamas County about how that worked out for them. The document was leaked by, of course, none other than Edward Snowden. However, there is another whistleblower out there with revelations for us. We're going to be speaking tomorrow with someone who knows whereof she speaks and is going to share that information with us. We'll be speaking with tomorrow with Sybil Edmonds and also with others who are knowledgeable on some of the emerging whistleblowers and what they have to tell us about what we have signed off on tacitly by agreeing and not standing by agreeing to be governed by the people who do indulge and engage in this type of activity. This has been our Cascadia for Monday, July 1st. Kathleen Stevenson engineered the show today. Kathleen's also, of course, KBOOAM News and Public Affairs Director. I'm Chris Andre. Get the facts, know your rights, take a stand. Thanks for listening and stay tuned.
This KABU program is made possible in part by KABU Foundation members and a grant from Wilkin & Company, PC, Certified Public Accountants, helping businesses, individuals, and nonprofit organizations make financial decisions based on their personal values since 1987. Wilkin & Company is located at 2435 Southwest 5th Avenue in Portland. Information at 503-225-1359 or wilkincpas.com.